This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Till free agent moves and quarterback moves at 5:15. The NHL trade deadline is done. Kyle Dubas has made his moves. I praise him for the moves he made today. I give him credit for holding on to Raquel because I think he can still trade him in the summer and he can still allow for Sid to chase down a record. 20 straight seasons of a point per game. That might not sound like much to you in terms of a record to have, but he would break a tie with Wayne Gretzky. And he would be the only player in NHL history to do that. And you take Raquel off that line, and I think that pursuit becomes much harder. Not to say Sid can't do it, because he's amazing, but I'd like to give him the best chance to do it, and I will run the risk of Raquel potentially getting hurt or cooling off over the last month of the season.
I have a very brief question about that.
Yes.
That I did not ask you before when you brought it up as like, hey, this is why I want to do this.
Do right by Sid.
Crosby has 66 points in 62 games played. I think he's missed, what, a game so far this year total?
Two.
Okay, so they've got 18 games left. What point total would he have to be at for you to say, he's so far ahead of point per game pace, I would have tried to do the deal? If he's at 77 points right now, and it's almost a lock, he's got to get, what, 5 more points, and he's guaranteed in every way, or if he missed 2 games, he's got to get 3 more points. How close would he have to be right now for you to have said, they probably could have rolled the dice on this one?
That's a good question. Without like having a calculator in my brain,
What are you talking about? You basically do. Like, if he had 75 points, would you have felt less inclined to make that a reason why you would want to keep Raquel?
Yeah, if I felt like it was already locked up.
Okay. I'm genuinely curious about that one. That's all.
I do think his price could potentially go down a little bit in the summer, but I don't think it's going to be substantial enough where I would want to, I would want my star player secretly seething because the organization that he's given all kinds of breaks and sacrifices to and given his whole hockey life to subtracted somebody that was going to help him pull that off. So I'm actually happy that they kept him because I really, really want to see him do it and break Wayne's record. Dubas is about to talk, so we don't have those comments yet. We will get them to you before the show is over. He's delayed because they made trades right up to the deadline, including this convoluted 3-team deal with the Bruins and Maple Leafs, and I have not seen the Penguins giving up anything in that deal. So it looks like they might have just
taken
contracts from teams.
They facilitated a move. They were the third man, so to speak. Just like Hulk Hogan.
Straightforward question. Are they in better shape now than they were before the day started? My answer is yes.
Yeah, I would say I have to say yes to that.
I did, Sean.
That was deafening.
Yes, I do think that they are better than they were before the day started because at the very least they got lottery tickets. They got scratch-offs. Scratch-offs are fun. and they can maybe lump or group scratch-offs together to get better lottery tickets, Powerball tickets, or something like that. I mean, dude, they still have a super long way to go, and there isn't anything close to a guarantee they'll get there. I feel better about things, but I don't feel so much better about things where I'm now in a good place with the Penguins. They have one guy, now that the dust has settled on this deadline, they have one guy in their lineup who's going to play every night who's under 25 years old. And that's Philip Tomasino, who they got from Nashville. One.
That's pretty
And they're
wild.
Kind of a they're stuck between reloading and rebuilding and trying to win, but also thinking about the future. And they've got one guy. Now, if the kid they picked up on waivers from Utah, the defenseman, starts to play, which I guess is possible now, then they'd have two. But that's it. For a team that's playing out the string that has no shot at making the playoffs and just sold like crazy at the deadline. So
a lot of immovable contracts, too, among those old guys.
So the guys that we think, all these prospects are draft picks, they're not at the NHL level. Which means if they're going to help the Penguins, it's going to be way down the road. You pointed out Malkin's going into the last year of his contract. He'll be done.
After next year.
He'll play next year and be done. You still have Carlson for 2 years. Good luck getting out from under that.
Some people think Letang is no guarantee, no lock to stay here.
I keep seeing those reports. So maybe this summer they'll want to move him, that he's not as anchored down in Pittsburgh as Sidney Crosby is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a situation where I don't think they're close. But at least now, like, his heart's in the right. I'm trying to articulate this the best I can. I don't want to slam Kyle Dubas on a trade deadline day where I think he did an admirable job, but it's not like he made seismic moves.
I think what you're doing is really just underscoring how much, like, is left to be done for them to be.
Oh my God. It's like it's
where they want to be.
It's like you're a cleaning person and you got contracted out to clean, like, Thomas Tall's house. And you did a good job with the bathroom. And there's still the rest of the house to clean.
You got a lot of square footage to cover.
That's a lot of house left.
You been to that house?
I've not, no. Have you?
No. Don't even know where it is.
Have you ever been to a billionaire's house?
I don't think so.
I think I've been to a millionaire's house. With inflation now, there's millionaires everywhere. You might have a millionaire in your neighborhood. You might be a millionaire for all I know.
I'm not. How many billionaires even live around here?
Do you think there's 10 billionaires within 100 miles of where
is
we are?
Is Art Rooney technically a billionaire? I don't think he is. I don't think his personal net worth is over $1 billion.
Well, he owns a business that's valued at $1 billion. Does that count?
Man, great. I mean, on the balance sheet, we know Tull is, right? We know he's worth like 3 or 4 or whatever billion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you could say that Art is definitively, you know, worth personally.
There's 750 thereabout billionaires in the United States. So you figure if you break it up, maybe 20 per state, because you're probably figuring some of the more sparse states would not.
Oh,
have
no,
as
I
many.
Disagree. I think your Wyomings and Montanas are teeming with billionaires.
They get away from people.
Yes.
Good
teeming.
Point.
Probably a couple people just randomly chilling in the Dakotas.
That's Malsy for you.
I don't think either of us have ever. I don't think either of us are ever going to be in a billionaire's house. Millionaire, yeah. I've been at a millionaire's house at some point along the line.
So Dubas gets an A for today, but overall still a failing grade for me.
So F?
He's got it up to a D-. Or maybe even, yeah, D-.
Do Ds get degrees, or does that mean you don't pass?
No, you get a degree for a D.
Yeah. The thing is, I mean, I'm sure some of the people that would back him would tell you the thing is they believe in him such that he is going to have a rare amount of time and a rare amount of, I think, organizational buy-in into philosophically what he wants to do. Think of the things he's got going for him. The money they committed to him, right? The fact that apparently Sullivan loves him, like that's a mutual love fest there.
It sounds like it's Shelton and Charrington and Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin, that these GM and coaches.
Or
they don't
Colbert and Tomlin, even the way those
they
two.
They don't win a damn thing, but yep, man, do they love each other.
And then think
make
about
out session. Like they're going up to make out point.
Did you have one of those places in your town? Place where everyone went? Was it called Make Out Point? Ah, we're going up the road to old Make Out Point.
We did, but it's a different kind of place.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think you want to say that on the air, judging by your face.
You know what I mean? Are you getting what I'm putting
I'm
down
I'm picking
here?
Up what you're putting down, yes. I would say, too, here's something else he's got going for him. Not that there's a ton of people like this that I can think of readily in the NHL. Who is the... Eugene Melnyk was always the guy I would think of on these terms as like an owner that just was always putting his, you know, foot in his mouth and showing his ass publicly. He's got a faceless conglomerate that owns this team that actually takes like what I would call great pains to be as anonymous as possible, right? What's the guy's name? Werner, who's their the...
Well, John Henry is the principal owner of the team.
I know, but who's
team.
Like the quote-unquote face of it?
Tom Werner.
I was going to say Tom, but I couldn't remember. So like even me, I have a hard time remembering sometimes. My point is there's no big individual personality who's really concerned with this particular team as like a passion project to oversee him and look over his shoulder a la Jerry Jones with the Cowboys, where he is his own GM because that's how much he cares. Dubas is going to have like the best of every world. Your coach believes in you. You're making a lot of money and they're tied to you for a while. And they're kind of just like, give us a nice ROI here. Make sure it's a team that people want to come and watch. And you're set, man.
Texas on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. A personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. There's a quarterback who looks like he's going to get let go by his team later on tonight or tomorrow, per a big insider. Who is that guy? And should the Steelers be interested? And we have a big Steelers special guest next. On the other side. You don't want to miss that. 5:15, time to start your weekend off right.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
With Archie's famous wings, here's a Sean Myers headline. Our guest at this time was a staple on this radio station since almost its inception. He is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is the greatest Steelers reporter of all time, and he is one of the greatest football reporters of all time. I'm, of course, talking about a man who says things you won't forget. Ed Bouchette, who used to work for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Hello, Ed.
My hat size just grew a half an inch.
What is it normally?
I got a big head. I don't know. I need big hats. I always did.
Not as big as Mueller. He's a size 8.
No, I'm not. I'm not Bruce Bochy here. Stop that.
I'm 7-something. I am 7-something.
Yeah, you and I are probably in the same boat, Ed. It's tough to find a hat that fits.
Ed, how you been? How's retirement?
Been great.
Yeah?
It's wonderful, and every time I hear that traffic report with it back up on the Parkway East, I feel even better.
Big vacation Ed Bouchette has done since retirement. Anything cool?
No. No, I go to Atlanta to see my son and my 4 grandkids down there and go to the beach once a year. That's about
favorite
it.
Favorite daily retirement activity? Like thing that maybe you didn't have time to do while you were busy burning the midnight oil, writing stories, and covering the team?
I this is really old people stuff. I do the New York Times puzzles in the morning, not the crossword, but all those little
Sudoku
puzzles
and those kinds of things?
And then I go to the gym.
Nice.
And then I eat lunch. And a favorite thing coming up, I take a nap. Then I walk the dog.
Man, that sounds like an idyllic day.
Ed, did you agree with the Academy's selection for Best Picture this year? I know you get into that sometimes.
I didn't think that any of the guys, we watched a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. I liked Conclave myself. Who won it? Anora?
Yes.
We watched that. That was a little goofy to me. I don't know.
What about Dune 2? Didn't that get nominated?
No, we didn't watch it. We didn't watch that one.
How about Wicked?
We watched Wicked when the kids were here, but I didn't watch it. The kids were watching.
Hand up, Ed. I'll admit something about Wicked. I went with I think we were just dating at that point. My then girlfriend, now wife. We saw the actual stage production.
Mm-hmm.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was like, I enjoy this. I enjoy a good musical bit. Like, and it was really well performed. My wife has seen the movie, I think, 4 or 5 times. I have zero interest.
Oh, my.
She was obsessed with it. She and her really close friend, they both went because her friend likes to sing. She's seen it multiple times. I have zero interest, man, because and it's only part one.
Yeah.
It's only part one.
Yeah.
Tell Ed how many books your wife has read this year.
You can avoid part two, but she can't, right?
Ed, no, she'll go see it. Here's another one, Ed. Right. Speaking of a retirement activity, like leisure reading, my wife has already read 23 books this year.
Wow, I've read maybe one.
Mm. I'm stuck on one as well. Pony, how many have you gotten?
I think I'm at 4. Cook's read a book a week down in Fort Myers, but he didn't want to come back for our 15th anniversary party.
You mean like a drink menu?
You know, I was invited for that. Craiger invited me, but we were away last week. Or I'd have been there.
Thank you, Ed. We would have loved to see you.
I would have loved to see your outfit, Pony.
Thank you. In the last hour, the reporters have confirmed Kirk Cousins Had a meeting with Arthur Blank, the Falcons owner, and he is angling for his release, so he will not be forced to back up Michael Penix and make a ton of money to just carry a clipboard there. He wants to be a team's starting quarterback. Ed, you used to say to me, when in doubt, talk about the quarterback, and I have really taken your advice seriously because I think we do that every day here.
Not just you. Every talk show in Pittsburgh does.
Yes. But should we not? I mean, this has
Are
been...
Are you starting to wonder if too many people took your advice, Ed?
Let me tell you something. They had three starting quarterbacks in 2023, right?
Yep.
They had two last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking different ones.
Yep.
That's five different starting quarterbacks in 2 years. And now they may have two more, because if they sign someone else, and you saw Jerry Dulac's story today. I mean, it's looking more and more like... What are you doing here? You haven't even signed anybody. I mean, you figured they'd sign one of those guys, maybe draft another guy late, middle late, but they're doing nothing so far.
What's happened to this franchise, Ed? Like, but recently?
Listen, you could have seven starting quarterbacks in three seasons. They're sounding like the Cleveland Browns through the years. Very dysfunctional.
Ed, what has happened? I mean,
I don't know.
It's very strange what's gone on with the malaise that has spread over, I think, this team, and especially the way this town is viewing them.
Yeah, I don't go that far. I don't because they're still competitive. And I know you guys debate that all the time, but to me, until they get a quarterback, a good one, they're not going to win again. I think. Said that all along, but it looks like they can't even decide what they want to do at the position.
Ed, what do you think makes that decision ultimately, Ed?
I think it's Mike Tomlin with Art Rooney's approval. Now, when I say Art Rooney's approval, if Art doesn't agree with Mike Tomlin, then you gotta, you gotta work it out. But I think for sure it's Mike saying, look, this is the guy we need. This is what we should do. And if they can do it, they do it.
What are your thoughts on bringing Justin Fields back?
Oh, I think that would be the number one thing I'd do. I'd sign him. I'd draft a guy anywhere from the fourth round on, third round maybe. That guy from Ohio State, I would take third or fourth round.
Putting the broadside of a barn against air, though, that made me nervous at his combine thing where he's missing guys left and right. I would have said the same thing about him.
How do you look in the championship?
I know. I knew you were firing back with that. I knew you had that one chambered and ready, Ed.
Well, I'm ready for real competition. I don't want to see indoor throwing against nothing stuff. That to me is, you know, maybe that drops him down to the Steelers. I don't know. But yes, Pony. Sign Fields, go from there. That shouldn't be that tough.
Ed, this is a question. I'll preface it a little bit so you don't just say, well, it's not really that bad. I know they've been competitive. I know they still make the playoffs, and it's just been in those playoff games where they really have not been competitive the last several times through. This general lack of overall like success, just haven't won a playoff game, can you compare it reasonably to any era? Does it feel like any era of the Steelers you covered where they went through hard times?
Well, I don't count these as hard times. You go through the 80s, those were hard times. Do you know they didn't make the playoffs in six of Chuck Noll's last 7 years? Six of seven.
And I knew they beat the Oilers in a stunner in that first, in that one time they made it.
You know. Yeah, and they should have beaten Denver and been in the championship game at Cleveland, but that didn't happen. Winning one playoff game to me doesn't mean anything anyway. I mean, this streak of having won a playoff game in 8 years. Okay, let's say they won one 3 years ago. Does that change anything? One game, one playoff win 3 years ago. Does that change anything?
Well, no, it doesn't for me, and that's kind of why, I mean, I'm about to turn 40, and so the frame of reference for a time period where it felt like they were a little bit adrift, they didn't know what they wanted to do at quarterback because it was failing, was like 98-99, where they had all the tumult with Stewart. They bring in Kent Graham, which is one of Pony's favorite names to mention.
Yep.
And eventually,
big water buffalo.
Wait, the water
the
buffalo.
Big water buffalo.
Yeah.
He was built like one.
Called him a big water buffalo.
So it does feel a little bit. I know that it is not the same because they have a winning record all these times, but it does feel a little bit like that little stretch of time for me where they just seemed like they were in the wilderness a little bit and searching for answers as a franchise in some ways.
Yeah, they didn't have a quarterback. Tommy Maddox, Mike Tomczak, Cordell Stewart, the Big Water Buffalo, and
we could throw Jim Miller in there
just
for good measure.
Yeah, if you wanted to toss Jim Miller in, we could have fun there.
Jim was supposed to start and didn't. You know, and then back to Cordell. They went away from Cordell after the Big Water Buffalo before that.
What's crazy is we say they didn't have a quarterback, and yet Cordell started two AFC championship games in a 5-year span.
And got an MVP vote.
Which is, I mean.
And a Pro Bowl.
Yep.
Pro Bowl quarterback. And back when.
Pro Bowls meant something.
They weren't all dropping out, right? Yep. No, Cordell, they didn't know what to do with him. And he had like 18 different offensive coordinators.
Ed, I got to be honest with you. I kind of feel like they're doing the same thing now. That's part of my concern with Fields, that I don't think they know what to do with him.
Well, I think Arthur Smith does know, and I think
but Arthur Smith's not the boss.
From everything, no, he's not, but he is the offensive coordinator, so he should have some say or some, you know, some kind of sway, if you will. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm not connected there anymore, but I could see from afar. It doesn't look like they know what they want to do.
How would you feel about Russell Wilson coming back?
Well, if you can't get Fields or you don't want him, Russell Wilson to me is the next best thing, because whoever you have in there other than Fields still would, to me, has a little chance to develop into something, but I wouldn't count on it, but it has a chance. Russell Wilson, you know what you got. So he's a stopgap guy until you find your next quarterback. But it's better than going out and getting somebody else and bringing them in, and now you got a new quarterback, you got to do all this all over again. Why wouldn't you just go with one of the guys you have?
Ed, I'll switch gears to the other side of the ball. Would it be pretty much a rubber stamp if you were in charge that, hey, yes, TJ Watt, new contract, we're doing this thing, no second thoughts or anything about it?
No. Mm-mm. No, I either wouldn't give him one and have him play out the year, or I would. This is blasphemy. He's such a great player, but I'm sorry. I saw Franco leave and some others leave too. I would trade him.
Ed, it's not blasphemy. That's music to my ears to hear you
say
that.
But Ed, why is that blasphemous? Rod Woodson played for multiple teams and is a Steelers Hall of Famer. Fanica played for the Jets and Cardinals. I mean,
a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them. More than you. Yeah. Because I just think, you know, those guys weren't defensive player of the year, but although James Harrison was, let him go too, right?
Yep.
And they were going to let Paul Amalo go if he didn't retire. I don't know. I just think he has a special place here. But me, I'm going to be Bill Belichick here. I'm going to be cutthroat. I'm saying we're not winning this year. Probably not winning next year. Guys getting up about 32, 33, and I got to pay him all this money. I'd either let him play one more year and go from there. You know, you can always franchise him if you really want to at that point, or you can just let him go in free agency and get the comp pick later.
Ed, what if the third wild card quarterback that was not mentioned in this Dulac piece today is Aaron Rodgers? How would you feel about that?
No, I wouldn't bring him. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I just wouldn't. He didn't fit here. I'm sorry. I'm not bringing him in.
Doesn't fit what they're what?
The Steelers. What they want to do. You think Arthur Smith had a little problem with Russell Wilson because they had some disagreements?
Sure sounds like it.
It's going to be like, well, what do you think it would be like with Aaron Rodgers?
I think Aaron Rodgers would tell him what to do.
Yeah, I don't want that. I'm sorry. That's me. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't, just knowing them from the years I covered them and everything, and knowing Mike and knowing Art, I don't know Arthur Smith. I know the other Art II. I don't think they'll touch him.
How do you think things go with George Pickens?
Well, it sounds now they're going to bring him back. I wouldn't re-sign him, though. Bring him back, let him play for his next contract, go out and get another receiver.
Would you trade for DK Metcalf if it cost you a first-round pick?
No. Nope.
That's not a believer in trading first-round picks for players.
No, I'm not.
He's from the Dan Rooney school.
What? I think you were vindicated in the end about Minka in many ways.
Yeah, I was ripped for the Minka deal. And my feeling was, he's a free safety. You get free safeties anywhere.
Especially Darren ones Perry, that line up 30 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, yeah. Ed.
He did get a lot of cardio work in with their philosophy, though. He could run from place to place, not hit anyone because they weren't asking
Darren
him
Perry,
to.
I think, was an eighth-round pick. You know
correct.
What I mean? And he was not the – one guy got hurt. He was supposed to start, and something else happened to somebody else, and that's why Darren wound up starting. It was a pretty good free safety here.
They spending too much money on defense, Ed, given the results they're getting?
Well, they spent too much on Minka. They had to spend it on TJ, and they had to spend it on Cam. So, I don't think they're spending too much on defense. I mean, you got all kinds of money left. You know, they can spend it on offense this year if they want, or they need defense still. They need a corner, and they need defensive linemen.
Ed, thank you. This was fun. It's been a while.
Anytime, fellas. Yeah, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, we're going to hold you to that, and we're going to call you back more regularly then and have you on for these little
chat
sessions.
Yeah, I don't think you want to just put that out there because
maybe you can put me back on the payroll.
I was going to say my boss might call you and say, hey, can you do Saturday 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.? So be careful.
Oh, no, I can't do that. Uh-uh. Hey, they wanted me to go on audio, video, whatever you guys do now. Yeah.
I think 5:15 to 5:30 via phone is perfect for you, it sounds like.
Thank you, Ed.
I charge extra for the video anyway. All right, see you guys.
There you go, Ed Bouchette. And some very pointed comments there.
How about what? This is blasphemy. Could you feel old Malzi starting to get keyed up there, though? I knew where it had to be headed, much to my pleasant shock.
Ed, much higher on what they've done in the last 7 or 8 years. I disagree with them there. But
I tried my best there to word that carefully so he would avoid that part of it.
I disagree with him on the Russell Wilson. I know, yes, it would be an adjustment with any quarterback that they brought in, but my take on that situation is basically anybody but him for 2025. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't need to see him ever put on a Steelers uniform again.
Dubas delayed because this Cody Glass trade that was initially reported as Glass for a third round pick ballooned into a 4-player deal with New Jersey.
Hate it when that happens.
That included John Gruden. Penguins prospect John Gruden.
Now see, this guy's going to get sent over to Newark, New Jersey.
Getting traded to the Devils for Max Graham, Chase Stillman, and a third round pick in 2027, years from now. So that's been the big hang up there, evidently.
Can you humor me? How on earth does a trade just randomly balloon? They get off the phone for the initial Cody Glass deal, and then somebody calls back and says, you know what?
I think just to us on the outside, it ballooned. Inside, it was always a balloon.
Outside.
But it just got leaked as Glass got traded.
Got
and because it.
It
was such a minor deal, I don't think the Friedmans and Dreggers of the world were exactly badgering the Penguins and Devils to find out if there was anything more to that trade, would be my guess.
You missed my headlines where I said minor league players involved, huh?
Did you have the names?
I did not.
Okay,
no, it was not reported at that time.
Right. So this is the ballooning that I'm now describing.
But he was kind of Johnny on the spot saying that there were other parts to that.
He was saying, hold the phones here.
My sources told me, yeah.
Your sources?
Oh, yeah.
Said that the trade had more parts, that those parts just at the goal line.
They said it was going to balloon when it was all said and done, yes.
Open phone Friday, right now. Anything you want in sports. Penguins deadline. What Bouchette just said, Steelers free agent moves, Pirates, March Madness, anything you want. Questions about Mulsey's Playboy purchases, 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. You can follow us on Twitter, brought to you by, where is it here? I just had it. South Hills Kia in Peters Township, southhillskia.net. Sean has a headline. We'll be back in a couple minutes. It's the PM team. Yeah, TGIF will come back next Friday. Open Phone Friday pushed back because we were graced with the presence of greatness. Ed Bouchette returning to our airwaves. You can go back and use the rewind function to hear his thoughts on the Steelers' current quagmire at quarterback. He cited this Dulac report, Jerry now flip-flopping more than John Kerry, with his story now that...
It's a timely reference by you.
That we've got possibly a new quarterback option for the Steelers. He doesn't say who, just saying that the Steelers seem to be getting nowhere with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And the prevailing thought the entire time has been, if Fields goes to free agency on Monday, he won't be back. If the Steelers don't have a quarterback by the start of free agency, Russell Wilson could still very easily be back. Opens the door for some other guys. Dulac cites Darnold and Rodgers in this article, but says that they just goes through all the reasons why they don't make sense for the Steelers.
But they could do it. But probably won't.
Yeah. I have not asked you this. Who do you think it ultimately will be? When we get back on the air at 2 o'clock on Monday, will we have our answer at quarterback?
Yes.
And who will it be?
Justin Fields.
I don't think so.
Now, hold on. Time out.
I don't think we will. And I think I'm going to feel like when we come back on Monday, it's going to end up being Russell Wilson.
Now, do you have inside knowledge?
No.
This is not an informed take where I am getting...
The only thing I'm going by is... The number one thing I'm going by is what Aditi said, what Charles Robinson of Yahoo said, and now what Dulac is writing. All three of them seem... Pessimistic might be the wrong word. But they don't seem to be sure that Fields is going to... Now, Kabali just came in here and said 70%. But... Those are three pretty heavy hitters that are like, well, this looked fait accompli, and now it doesn't.
I'm going to choose to predict with my heart here and say the player that I ultimately think is the clear best solution for them for 2025 is the player they will retain. But it's the Steelers, so they'll probably bring back Wilson and say we're also going to run the wishbone with him.
I heard a funny name thrown out there, if Wilson's back as their backup. One of your favorite quarterbacks of all time.
Are you saying that facetiously?
No. Because you literally have a crush on him.
Oh, Jimmy. The handsome Jimmy G.
Yes. Did you know that, Sean?
Yes, he says I have a crush because I point out that he is a handsome guy. This is back
Do
when Jimmy G
Do you disagree that
was...
he's handsome?
Malzi, if Alex and Jimmy Garoppolo were in the same room, I think he'd box out his wife to go talk to Jimmy Garoppolo.
That seems like a miscalculation.
The man loves himself some Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, Pony, you dodged the question though. Sean said, do you disagree?
Not my type.
Not your type.
No.
So who would you call handsome?
Richard Gere,
like what? Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins, because he looks like you.
Great looking guy.
That's the old Jerry Seinfeld bit.
Why? Who did
He's
he say?
He's in love with himself.
I'm in love with myself.
She's too much like me.
All right, here is Matt in the North Hills for Open Phone Friday. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys, I just want to say how lucky both Pitt main program coaches are that the university probably can't afford to fire both of them. Narduzzi, I could make a great case for firing for how much he butchered post the ACC championship. But Capel, man, like, I know teams in the city have made a habit of collapsing this year. But the basketball team might be the most shocking because they look legitimately good the first 2 months of the season. They even survived losing Damian Dunn, and then it just fell off a cliff basically when he came back. It's shocking.
I think he's going to lose Jalen Lowe. I think Jalen Lowe's going to go to Miami because Jalen Lowe, for people that don't know this, his mentor in basketball is John Lucas. And yep. John Lucas's son is now the Miami coach, and they have thrown around big NIL money for basketball players like Isaiah Wong, Nigel Pack. So I think that Lowe is going to end up there, and they're going to have to go. They've got one guy committed for next year, from the outside to go along with maybe the players they keep around. So I'm with you, Matt. Well, I mean, it has been a horrible year for Jeff Capel. Look, programs take a step back sometimes when they're already you know, once they come out of their rebuilding stage, you know, he had to take over for Stallings. We all know that. But this is completely unacceptable what's gone on there this year.
I really don't disagree with a syllable of the call.
And he has said things after games like, we're fighting or we fought. I'm proud of my team. And I'm thinking to myself, you just let Georgia Tech walk in here and beat your ass. You just almost lost by double digits to NC State, who's not even going to qualify for the ACC tournament. They're the first team in the history of college basketball to go to the Final Four and miss their team's conference tournament the next year.
He's either, if he's telling the truth that they are fighting hard, then he did a horrible job finding talent because they are not good enough to win. If he's lying for them, why? Why have they earned that right to be covered for by their coach?
Terrible. The hodgepodge is next. Following us tonight, Sean, is we have Mike following us tonight. Who do we have following us? He doesn't know yet.
I thought it was Mackie. I think I saw
Mackie. Oh, is it the Mackie planner? I don't think it can be Mackie because Mackie's got to wait for Kyle Dubas to talk and he still hasn't.
I'm pretty sure.
So I hope we have
like
a contingency.
Hillgrove?
Oh.
Could it be Hillgrove?
I think so.
He was on last night pulling a back-to-back here.
Plotting it up.
Anyways, Mike's Beer Bar. That's right. I did have to tell people about Mike's. A lot of sports going on this weekend. A lot of moves happened today. Why not get your friends together, go over to Mike's, and BS a little bit. Talk about what's gone on. Talk about what you like, what you don't, what you think's going to happen with the football team. Watching sports, college basketball all day tomorrow, hockey all weekend long. So meet me at Mike's today. It's the premier beer destination in Pittsburgh with 80 rotating taps of local craft beer, hundreds of beers from around the world, and great menu options like steak on a stone and wings. Mike's Beer Bar. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. It is time for the Hodgepodge, brought to you by Two Men and a Junk Truck. Visit them at twomenandajunktruck.com.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Still can't get over Donnie yesterday. Keep the music going here, Sean. Can't get over Donnie in this spot yesterday asking us, hey, can you guys give me advice on things to do in Staten Island while I'm there this weekend? Bro, you're going to Staten Island.
Get out of Staten Island. It's like Escape from New York with Kurt Russell.
Hey, guys, any advice on what to do in Youngstown this weekend?
There's actually more to do in Youngstown than I think I know to do in Staten Island.
Yes, you are proximate. You are close to Manhattan and Brooklyn and very cool places. The place to be and party is not Staten Island. So that's where Donnie is. Keep the music going here, Seth.
Lay it down there nice and low. Yeah. I think Donnie, by the way, was a little hurt. By the way, we like kind of made fun of the whole situation. I kind of like this. No, I think he was a little wounded.
I honestly didn't know how to help him.
Neither did I. I was like, I don't know, go try to find out where Pete Davidson grew up. Wait, didn't people from like, which rap group started there?
A Tribe Called Quest.
I think Fat Joe lived on Staten Island in like, he did an MTV Cribs where it was just like a regular ass house.
Fat Joe, big Yankees fan.
I think it was a regular ass house.
Fat Joe now, regular size Joe. He's one of those guys. Maybe an Awaken 180 user.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Sure is. You see how much this Paul Skeens card's going for?
How much?
So that one of one card where the Pirates tried to make that deal with the kid.
What is this? We got like a medley here.
It's just a rotation of different things.
You know the
little surprise.
You know the one of one rookie patch card?
Yes, I do. Yes, yes, yes.
So the kid pulled a card in California, and the Pirates offered him season tickets behind home plate for 30 years and a chance to come play like a pickup game at PNC Park, and the kid declined it.
Okay.
And now it's finally up for auction, and it's up for auction, I believe, for 2 weeks. Because they want those things to just go bananas. And I think at last check, it was well over $300,000. And they expect it to go for close to $1 million. Darren Revelle tweeted, the Pirates will pay Skeens $800,000 this season. So the card will go for more
than he's making.
Than the actual money that gets paid out for Paul Skeens' Cy Young production this season.
God, does anybody in sports media like a story like that more than Revelle?
I like a story like that.
You don't like it as much as Ravel does, is my point.
The card market and sports memorabilia market, man, did I get an absolute crash course in that
when I was down in Florida.
Yeah, Gary Bowser.
They were talking about it at my kid's bus stop this morning.
Gary Bowser, an incredible collection.
Hold on.
He had and sold, and now he's back in. Lower this a little bit, Sean.
I got a story for you on that front. So we're talking about it. It comes up at, like, because all the kids trade Pokemon cards. So, like, Lennox got into it, and I was laughing to some of the other parents saying, like, yeah, Lennox is probably getting fleeced. He has no idea what he's doing yet. Kids are probably taking good cards off him for nothing. Whatever. So one of the other people that lives on the street tells a story. I guess there was a teacher at, like, his school growing up. The teacher would trade baseball cards with the kids and fleece them.
Oh, that's messed up.
And here, like, this went on.
That's really screwed up.
This went on for like 20 years. So kids would be encouraged, like, oh yeah, you got baseball cards. I'll trade cards with you. Cool teacher, right? He would encourage
kids.
He's
raking them over the coals.
He's like saying, ooh, I'll take that perfect mint condition Mickey Mantle for like Joe Blow. The school finally had to tell him to
stop. Put the guy in jail.
I said that's stealing.
It is.
That's stealing from these people. And they
especially
said, yeah,
if
the
like,
best...
oh man, you know, if you trade me that card, and yeah, there might not be a test on Friday.
I might have a Bip Roberts for you that I can give you. But like I said, put the dude in jail. If he's still alive, put his ass in jail. That's stealing. Anyway.
Have you ever really...
No, I never got into it.
In your adult years, post being a kid?
No.
How about you, Sean?
I was not a card collector as a kid in general. Like I couldn't see the future enough to be like, okay, I could sell this someday.
I worked at a place that sold fairly high-end trading cards. It was crazy how much some of these people spent. I mean, there was like a 4-card wrap was like $400 in certain instances where you're guaranteed to get like an autograph and so on.
Yeah.
I never got into it, but I could tell you there's a lot of people who put a lot of money into it. It feels like more times than not, they're not really making a profit, but
it's a little strange.
It's definitely
to me.
Like gambling or investing.
Yeah, but I think the reason it's booming again is because people got so scarred by NFTs that these actually are like physical, tangible resources
well,
you can hold. Well,
post-COVID, it's just taken off again. The hobby was reborn. People were bored during COVID, got
What's
into it, and now they're loving it.
Of this generation? Like, is there a random Hannes Wagner? Like, what's going to become the one that's the white whale?
There's a Brady rookie card that's... I think sold that auction for maybe over $1 million.
It would have to be somebody that's like a player who comes out of nowhere in their chosen sport to become like basically the GOAT, where there isn't...
Jeremy Lin.
It would have to be like...
Wait, why? Why does it have to be like
that?
You
know what would be the closest one where like they wouldn't have made a big run of cards? If you had like a mint Nikola Jokic and you're like, all right, this guy's probably the best player in the NBA and has been for like 3 or 4 years at least. That would do some
But it's
some
not
work.
Based on just that. It's based on how much people
want
are interested and obsessed with the athlete or whatever. And that's why...
Oh, they were obsessed with the Flying Dutchman back in his day.
Flying Dutchman.
That's what they called him.
Oh, I know.
He's lived on a railroad street.
I just haven't heard that
Carnegie.
In a while.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Happy birthday to my mom, Jackie Muller.
Oh, I got to get something about that.
Just, shout out to my mom. If you like me on this show, the reason I'm probably doing this kind of thing for a living is because my mom taught forensics for a very long time. I think she still might kind of moonlight and help out. She
really?
Does, in fact. Yeah, I think she does actually teach forensics still as like kind of a weekend hobby, something she enjoys doing that's basically public speaking. So I never had that ingrained fear a lot of people do of public speaking of any kind.
You hear about these
yes,
out
here we
in
go.
Minnesota and Minneapolis. See, we got one right here in Butler. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty freezing, too.
Happy birthday, Mom. That was her. They misspelled our last name on the news and said that she was just from Butler as opposed to somebody visiting Butler for that ice sculpting thing.
Jeff Hathorn is with Kyle Dubas right now, and Dubas just addressed why he... decided to keep Rickard Rakell. Here's the quote. Rakell's a big part of our program. He wants to be a part of bringing the team back to contention. You don't just push that out the door. Having Rakell a part of the Penguins is definitely the right thing to do. Yeah, I don't like that answer. That sounds a lot to me like the reason why we're keeping TJ Watt for the Steelers and giving him a big deal is because of the sentimental attachment that comes with this whole one helmet mumbo jumbo. He wants to be a part of bringing the team back to contention. Well, you know, I want a lot of things too. I was about to name one of something inappropriate. We're just going through
I love old this. Beds from... I'm thinking of Smails right now.
This is
going
to catch on.
It's the dance of the living dead. Jeff in South Park said whoever played the Ozzy Osbourne Judas Priest medley should get a raise.
You don't just push that out the door. So if you want to be a part of the team, well, I guess it did work that way because Shen said, get me out of here. And they said, got it. Raquel said, I like Pittsburgh. All right, cool. Even though we could get a king's ransom for you, now that we know you like it here, we'll grant your wish. Just say the real reason is because Sid wants to. You think
There's
it's a good
reasons.
Idea for Sid to keep playing with him.
There's two reasons. That one, and we didn't get completely bowled over by an offer that would have nullified
yeah,
part one.
Yeah, you're right. That's the thing he can't say out loud.
Correct. Our buddy Tad Askew on Twitter, he likes to tweet us a lot. I always laugh when he tweets because his picture is the dude in Big Lebowski. He said, I'm on Sam Adams number 5 of the day wondering, why hasn't Donnie hit up Lou from Staten Island, loyal caller, to find out what to do on
Staten
Island? Oh,
that is
Island?
A great point.
Can you imagine what our guy Lou would tell him? All right, Donnie, come here. We're going to go to this place. It's a great bar, and we're going to bitch about Mike Tomlin. He just shows up with like a manila folder of papers of complaints. We're going to complain about Mike over a few beers. Actually, Donnie and Lou would be a hell of a pairing just to like... Those two ships passing.
Man,
the
you
night.
Want to talk about a bat signal going up there. Anytime there's any even slightest.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.